Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here, Charlie Usen over there joining us now. He is Frank Madden from the Lockdown Bucks podcast. Follow him on Twitter at FMaddenNBA. Frank, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
I'm good, guys, and glad I got to join you after a win and not after that Clipper game.
I don't care about that. I want to talk about the report from Sham Sharania, what happened about, 23 minutes ago, about De'Aaron Fox now being out there on the trading block. He's got 1 year left on his deal at like $37 million in the 25-26 season. He's at like $34 million as a cap number right now. I'm going to throw something at you. Feel free to laugh and make fun of me. Do whatever you'd like. Would you consider, knowing that Damian Lillard's cap number right now is $54 million in 25-26, player option for $58.4 million in the 26-27 season at age 36, would you consider acquiring LaVine and Fox in some massive deal that saw Lillard leave?
I mean, with the caveat that I don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of interesting. I think we've talked so much, there's been so much discourse about, you know, Chris Middleton and, of course, you know, Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez are always sort of in that discussion. And I think that's acceptable to have Chris and certainly Bobby and even Brooke. And look, I'm as loyal a Chris Middleton fan as you'll come, but I think there comes a time where you got to at least think about, right? Like, how do you make yourself better and how do you extend your runway? And I think the same should apply to Dame, you know, and I think I would not, you know, entertain trading Dame for, you know, Jimmy Butler or Brad Beal or these guys that we've been talking about, or even probably Zach LaVine, just because I just don't think Zach's probably like the long-term needle mover, even though he's a fair bit younger than Dame. But I think it's totally fair to ask the question, but you know, I think the one thing with Dame is that Dame is, I think, probably within the organization or, you know, there's more of that perception of him as an untouchable, at least in the context of what you could actually get for him.
But this is the thing, though, Frank. Look at it from this perspective. If you're John Horst, if you're Peter Fagan, if you're Bucks ownership, Giannis has a couple years left on his deal. You are not going to be able to convince him to continue this run with nothing around him. If you get LaVine, who is around his age or younger, if you get Fox, who's a couple years younger, and able to extend him, that probably has more of a chance of keeping this window open for longer than just playing this out with Giannis and Lillard and then essentially being done and the window is closed.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, if you asked me, if you just said, like, here, you can have De'Aaron Fox and his contract or Dame and his contract. I mean, I would take Fox, just really like the age factor just being the dominant thing, right? I don't think De'Aaron Fox is right now better than Dame. And you could argue, well, like, if you're just trying to win a championship this year, is Dame give you a better chance than Fox? Probably. But yeah, I think the age thing is a huge factor, right? And so that's why I think you have to think about, you know, what other guys are out there that you could extend the runway with, right? And there's so many guys that, I mean, I think Fox is like probably as high end as you can get, which is why I don't think he's necessarily very realistic. But I mean, that's why you need to ask a question about like a Brandon Ingram, right? Brandon Ingram's always hurt. He's been disappointing. Does he make others better? Question mark, right? But he's a lot younger than, you know, like a Chris Middleton. So I think you at least need to like think about it, even if at the end of the day, it maybe doesn't make sense. And you're talking about guys who like Ingram could walk in the summer, or with Fox, obviously you don't have him under a very long-term contract either.
Would you rather have Fox or LaVine? LaVine's got an additional year under contract than Fox. LaVine longer, probably a better defender than Fox.
I think if the question is, I think Fox is a better player. Better asset, right? Because he's younger. I think LaVine probably fits more seamlessly. If you're starting from the baseline of Giannis and Damian Lillard, then I think LaVine's a better fit. I don't it would be a very awkward fit, I think, if you try to shoehorn De'Aaron Fox in between Dame and Giannis. But I think if you're just talking who's better between those two guys, vacuum, it's De'Aaron Fox on this team, probably Zach LaVine.
He is Frank Madden. Follow him at the Locked On Bucks podcast. Follow him on Twitter at FMaddenNBA. He's one of my favorites, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Okay, Frank, so let's continue talking more about these different trade rumors floating around here. The deadline is next Thursday. Jimmy Butler, according to Brian Windhorst, that price is dropping quickly. And now let's add Jimmy Butler to this mix. Butler, Fox, LaVine, rank them, and where you'd want to see this Bucks team go.
I think LaVine, I mean, I've been thinking of it mainly in the context of LaVine relative to Butler and Brad Beal, right? Because those are the names that have been getting thrown around, and, you know, all these different versions of musical chairs that could happen. To me, I think I would take LaVine over Jimmy Butler and Brad Beal. I think Beal and Butler is a difficult conversation just for differing reasons, like not particularly good ones. I think LaVine I have ahead of Butler purely because I think Jimmy, I mean, he's a grenade. Maybe you can lob it, you know, into the other team's bunker and, you know, beat the Boston Celtics with them, or maybe, you know, you drop him and he blows you up and he just nukes your entire team, right? Like, I just have no idea what Jimmy Butler's mindset would be coming to Milwaukee, or how long, if he, I think, brought a good attitude, like, how long does that last? So Jimmy's probably at the bottom of that list. And again, the age factor as well at 35, just, you know, you're not extending your runway beyond what you already have. So I think LaVine would probably be, again, over Butler. And then Fox, I mean, honestly, I still just don't buy him as a realistic guy that could be in the Bucks' plans, especially given the fit arguments. So, again, like, if it's, you know, do you ask me would I rather have Dame or Fox? I'd probably say Fox just for the long-term component. But I just don't see a version of the world where you get, you know, De'Aaron Fox and you're just putting, you know, you're just trading Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis and, you know, a 2031 first-round pick. Like, I don't think that's a world that we live in. I think it'd be hard enough to get Zach LaVine given the Bucks trade assets. So I'm almost putting in Fox in a different category.
I'm concerned that Fox ends up in Miami somehow in all of this. That's what I'm concerned about right now. And I don't want De'Aaron Fox in Miami with Bam and Tyler Hero and the rest of them as part of this Butler deal. That would concern me greatly with Spoelstra as the coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a weird thing, though, in Miami. Like, if he moves, then I guess I would assume Tyler Harrow's probably part of, like, finally gets traded after being discussed for so long. Sure, it could happen, but I don't know. You know, at the end of the day, you know, De'Aaron Fox, like I said, if you're talking about the short term right now, which the Bucks, short term view, win a championship in the next year or two, does De'Aaron Fox put, you know, the Heat above the Bucks with Giannis and Dame? I don't think so. But, you know, I'm definitely a lot more worried about the three teams ahead of the Bucks in these standings as far as New York, Boston, and Cleveland. But, yeah, I mean, certainly if Miami could somehow cash that in, then they become a bit more dangerous. But, you know, again, the East is getting crowded in a hurry, which is not great if you're the Bucks. But I still am kind of most worried about those three teams at the top.
Frank, that game last night, Bucks obviously get a win against a bad Utah team. It was a game last night where you felt comfortable watching. You were never really nervous. You knew the better team was going to win, and they were in control most of the game. The highlight of that game was the fact that Middleton went for 20-plus last night, which was absolutely great. And we were asking earlier, the question was, how likely is it that the Bucks' big three play like they did last night for the rest of the season? I'm going to read you this. I don't know if you saw this from Bucks PR or not. Eric Name tweeted this out last night. Last night was the seventh time that Giannis, Damian Lillard, and Chris Middleton all scored 20 or more points in the same game per Bucks PR. And he lists the games. I quickly put together on the air today that this is only the second time under Doc Rivers that this has actually happened. The first five times were all under Adrian Griffin, and this is only the second time it's happened under Doc Rivers. Now, make of that as you will, but how confident are you that they can continue playing like this?
Giannis, very confident. Dame, very confident. Chris, much less confident just because of the health component of it. I mean, look, the upside is you don't need Chris to score, obviously, 20 points a game, right, with the way this team is constructed. And you have, I think, enough depth and shooting beyond him and Dame and Giannis that, you know, the bench in particular, I think, has been greatly improved this year. Of course, Chris coming off the bench certainly helps that as well. But I think with Chris, I mean, just look at the production he put up the last 2 years, right? He was about at 15 a game and, you know, depending on the year you look at, like 25 to 28 minutes a game. Obviously, you need to ramp. I think the main thing with Chris is you need to ramp him up so that he's not, you know, a 20 to 25 minute guy. I think for the Bucks to compete with the best in the East, I think they need to get Chris up to, again, is he playing 38 minutes in the playoffs? Maybe not. Maybe he doesn't need to do that much, but he's got to be playing starter caliber minutes in the playoffs. He's got to be able to hold up defensively. And then, honestly, the offense, I'm less concerned about. If physically he's in a good place, a better place than he is right now, and closer to what we saw certainly in the playoffs last year, yeah, I don't think he needs to give you what you saw in the playoffs last year when he was kind of the only guy left standing with Dame and Giannis injured on the sideline. So I think with Chris, you know, it's really just, you know, he doesn't need to score a ton, but I think he just needs to be consistent, which, you know, he actually had like a pretty good run before the scoreless game in LA over the weekend. So, you know, I think we just need to manage the expectations. If Chris is at 15 to 17 points a game and giving you 5 assists, and again, just can he get to a point defensively in particular where, you know, he's not a liability and he's a smart team defender, but will his body be able to kind of hold up and keep up, especially in the playoffs? That to me is like the big question. So 20 points is great. But I think it's just more a matter of health and just making sure, you know, come mid-April that you can actually just keep all these guys on the floor.
Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks podcast. Follow him on Twitter at FMaddenNBA. I got one more. How would you assess Brook Lopez's play so far and what needs to get better if they're going to win a title?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's kind of remarkable at his age that he's still doing what he's been doing. I think certainly relative to 2 years ago, the last year with Bud and Drew Holiday, you know, when he was a defensive player of the year finalist, he's not quite that same guy. I mean, part of that also was just, you know, kind of was a perfect storm for him offensively as well, playing with, you know, Joe Ingles and Giannis and Drew and Chris being healthy. That was just an awesome offensive season for him as well. He's not quite at that point, that level yet. But I think, honestly, with Brooke, I don't know if it's that we need Brooke to do a lot more or you need Brooke to necessarily change the way he's been playing. I think the real question is, like, what kind of counters does Doc Rivers have to just having to roll with Brooke for, you know, 32 minutes a game? I mean, you look at his minutes per game, right? It's been going up in his Bucks tenure. He's playing the most minutes per game this year that he's ever played since he came to Milwaukee. And I don't think that's a good thing for Brook. And I also think it kind of puts the Bucks in a spot where they're less flexible. And I think they have to figure out ways that they can weaponize Giannis as a center more, not for like 20 minutes a game, but, you know, you're going to need to do that at times in the playoffs. I think we saw it. I mean, this team won a championship with, you know, Giannis closing in small lineups against the Phoenix Suns. Brook was huge in that playoff run, but they were closing games predominantly with Brook on the bench. And so I don't think Bobby Portis is, you know, necessarily the answer there either. So I think with Brook, I don't know that you ask him to do much more or change the way he's playing so much as I think it's more on the team and, you know, honestly, Doc Rivers and John Horst potentially, depending on what they can do in the trade market, to figure out ways that they don't rely on Brook to play 32 minutes a game and, you know, have to close every game when sometimes the matchups aren't great, right? Like watch the two Knicks games. They weren't good games for Brook Lopez to be playing major minutes. He's just not a good matchup there. So love Brook, love what he's done. Think he's still a key guy for them. Hope, you know, they can keep him and bring him back on a smaller deal next year in free agency. But I think they just have to figure out ways to build sort of different lineups, different looks, and included in that is ways to play smaller.
Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks podcast. Follow him on Twitter at FMaddenNBA. Frank, as always, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. That's it all.